We are reading in the book Kabbalah for the Student, page 471. The article is Matter and Form in the Wisdom of Kabbalah. You can ask questions live at cab.tv, and selected questions that are relevant to the topic will be aired. Kabbalah for the Student, page 471, Matter and Form in the Wisdom of Kabbalah. As a whole, science is divided into two parts. One is called material research. Well, okay, read. Do you want him to start elsewhere? As a whole, science is divided into two parts. One is called material research, and the other formative research. This means that matter and form are perceived in every element of the entire reality before us. For example, a table consists of matter, meaning the wood, and consists of form, the shape of a table. The matter, being the wood, is the carrier of the form, the table. Also, in the word liar, there is matter, which is a person, and there is a form, the lie. The matter, which is the person, carries the form of a lie, meaning the custom of telling lies. And so it is in everything. Hence, science too, which researches the elements of reality, is divided into two parts: material research and formative research. The part of science that studies the quality of the substances in reality, both materials without their form and materials along with their forms, is called material research. This research is empirical, based on evidence and deductions derived from practical experimentation. And these practical experimentations are treated as a sound basis for valid deductions. So that's clear, right? Our whole science comes from studying matter, its forms, compositions, impacts, conditions, etc., etc. But actually, it's matter. It could be anything. Still vegetative or animate. We study matter. Sometimes, that's a different level. We study the forms in the matter. Normally, when we need to, we connect matter and form from wood, from metal, from plastic, whatever. So there is a difference in how I build it, depending on the material that I use for building. Well, that's clear, right? So material research and formative research are connected. Sometimes I put an emphasis only on the matter, and then it's important for me to know its qualities. Sometimes I need to know the form. And normally, the form affects matter, and matter affects form in the structure that I am about to build, in when I use it in our world. But because at our disposal, all we have are matter and form. The whole of science is divided into material research and formative research. Necessarily, there's nothing else. Any other division will be of the same forms of science, of research. What? Is matter is force matter too? Because science studies forces too. Does it matter? Or he's asking, well, I'm asking, is force matter too? Well, yes. There's no difference. He gives us an example. He's telling you water can be ice, like steel, or they can be liquid, or they can be fume. Vapor, which you don't feel. It's the same with forces. They're only forces to us. We don't sense them. We sense their impact. I don't know what a force is. Forces. It's imperceptible. I perceive it when it's been used in matter. So even when I talk about some force, I talk about it while it is in some kind of manifestation in front of me. There's a force of magnetism here. What is it? I don't know. But I begin to discover that something is pulling towards some direction. So I discover the force. But if I didn't see that some matters through this force would be arranged in some specific way, I wouldn't detect the existence of that force. And we're only speaking with respect to the reality that we can identify. So to me, forces, those that are not clothed in matter, I don't know them. I can never know them. Even the Creator, to me, the Creator, come and see the force of bestowal. And where do I discover it? In me. I can't detect it outside of me. It's just being something, I don't know, that's his essence, I don't know, his self, I don't know. Give me an example. Don't give it back to them. When Tomer asked about light, he told him, what's not clear? It's a force. You have a pulling, pushing force. You give an example of forces. In what? In matter that I can see. Even if you said rejecting force. Rejecting what? What is it doing? In other words, I detect it. What? Tell me. Electricity. I don't know what electricity is. I only can detect it through its operation, actions in some matter. It heats or it does something else. It affects me. I use it. So we study the actions, not the substance. The actions that appear through the substance. The force in itself, we can't detect it. The force itself is called the essence. I always discover these forces in their action. And this action that they perform, I call it a force. As I talk about, I relate it to the reason. Like gravity, for example. The force of gravity. Where is that force? Let me feel it. You can't feel it. But if you take something and hold it, then now in your hand you have a sensation of the force of gravity. To the extent that you resist the force, to the extent that you want to push it back to zero, if you compensate, if you compensate them, to that extent only can you measure them. You can't measure them in and of themselves. How do you measure weight? Only by the extent to which you can resist it. So you balance it. And you say, wow, 80 kilos. Wow, I have to press it so hard. And then you get to zero. In other words, its force is 80 kilos. That's the way it is. But what is it in itself? I don't know. Electricity passes through a wire or whatever and pulls a dial, and then I see. What am I seeing? The current? No, I see its action. I see how much it pulled the spring with a dial. And that's the only way I measure. I measure and I detect only actions. Because I am matter. The force that affects my matter is what I detect. And how do I detect it? Only on condition that I can balance it. that I can compensate it. And accordingly, I measure and I say, I put in a 10 kilo resistance or some pressure or whatever, only in this way. And all my measurements are like that. In my sight, in my hearing, in my vision, what do I measure in my hearing? Some pressure is applied to my eardrum, and the eardrum wants to push it back, and it measures how much it pushes back. Not the response it gets from the sound waves, but how much it pushes itself back. That's what I measure. Because it wants to push itself back, to return itself to its balanced state. So I constantly measure its forces, how much force it takes. What does it mean that I am hard of hearing or that I'm deaf? It's when I don't have the strength to put the eardrum back, to send it back. It's not responsive anymore. So I can't measure anything. Don't you have anything on the outside? Of course you have tons of noises outside. Yes, but it's not balancing in me. It's irresponsive. That's how we are in everything. What am I like with respect to spirituality? Give me a screen to come to balance what comes to me, and I'll detect the Creator. If I don't have anything to balance it with, He doesn't exist. It's as if I'm deaf. It's the same. I need a membrane. Yes. But there are several layers here, 1,000 layers. People's relations, people among themselves, emotions, what do you name it? There's one principle, because we have nothing besides light and kli, two opposite forces, those are what we study. And these two forces, as the results of them, create the matter and form in matter. Say we talk about pleasure. There's a sensed pleasure, but the difference between detecting where it comes from, then you have to see where to push it back. I've said, so what? It's the same. You only add to the pleasure a few more details, where it came from, the connections there. You add layers to it. The pleasure is, say, something corporeal. And besides that, you have an attitude to the giver of the pleasure. That's human already. And besides, I have an attitude to the, say, spiritual giver. Never mind, it's degrees of desire, degrees of the appearance of bestowal, degrees of my resistance to the impact on me. It's all the same. But different levels. As it says, our world, the spiritual world, and all their details are identical. The only difference is in matter.
Yes. The matter in which the spiritual forces are revealed in, is that the society, the group? No, the spiritual forces are revealed in matter called the relation between each other, the force between each other, that we want to have force of bestowal between each other, that is the spiritual matter. That's the spiritual matter. Meaning that itself doesn't exist right now. There are broken rishimot, that from these rishimot, we can construct this matter. The vessel, a desire. Now this desire doesn't exist. I have no desire to love the others, to connect to the others, to bestow to them. The desire is the matter. The form in the matter, in which way I can bestow to him and so on, that will come later on. Meaning, spiritually, I have nothing. I have to construct it from nothing, from zero. It doesn't exist in front of me, and it didn't exist. It never existed. When we say, yes, the world spread until this world, and then in this world we're going back, it's all in potential. There was no matter. Now we are constructing the matter. in the relations between us. So, meaning to reveal the spiritual forces, I have to have a relationship with at least one person, and he has to be in the group. I can't reveal this with someone from the outside. Exactly, yes. Only by doing so you begin to construct matter, building blocks, and then from that you can build a house. Even the matter doesn't exist here. You can see what the Creator did. He prepared such conditions that you begin from zero. Existence from absence. And that's in the relationship between you and the others. You're starting something that didn't exist at all. You're in this world and you're detached from the spiritual work you're going to do. You're under this condition that you're as the Creator. Yes, Leo? Can you give a definition of matter? What is matter? Desire. It's a desire. But nothing exists. There's a desire, and besides this desire, received an imprint of the bestower, of the Creator. This imprint, this negative posterior of the imprint, is called the evil inclination, and the positive imprint, like the glove that you turn over, that's the good inclination. But the inclination, that is the matter, the desire. So there's the inclination, either good or bad. That's it. Yes? In your last answer, you told Tomer that matter in spirituality is the connection between us, not the desire. Yes, this connection is a desire. What is this connection? What is it, a string? It's a desire. What ties us together? The desire to influence one another, to bestow to one another, that ties us together. Maybe I didn't say it clearly enough. Yes. So, if we're searching for the connections between the points in the hearts between us, then by that we begin to gather the building blocks? No, not gather. You begin to construct the building blocks. There is no matter for these blocks. It doesn't exist. The desire to bestow is the Creator Himself. And when we begin to construct this desire to bestow between us, it doesn't exist. Because the Creator is the desire to bestow. I can't find the words. His desire to bestow comes to us as an inverse imprint. We learn this from the evil inclination. And I don't really want to go deeper into this. Maybe a few more questions. Yes, David. I'm trying to dodge your questions. We see in nature there are different types of material. Metal, wood, stone. Now, these materials, they're completely passive. A desire is something more from potential to action. It's more active. So, what's my perception of these materials? How can you call them desires? I don't know. Take this pencil. It's wood. Wood. This wood wants to sustain itself. As it is, atoms, the connection between them, its structure. Maybe it's more complex or Maybe it's higher quality or lesser quality. Start doing something with it and you'll see it doesn't want you to change it. It holds itself. It resists. You have to put great forces to break it, meaning to break its desire to sustain itself as it is, and so on. This is matter. This matter, is it a force or not? It's a force. When you measure something, what do you measure? You measure the force of gravity, attraction, the force to hold itself together. When you're looking at it, it's yellow. Why is it yellow? That's the force that holds itself in such a way, and it resists to any change. You'll have to put in energy, meaning additional forces, to change its qualities and its state. This is called a desire. I don't understand you. We've spoken about this many times. I see reality by the forces that are depicted on my screen, like Balaslav says, this photographic machine. These are forces that are depicted here, an entire world. Forces. If they're three-dimensional, or if they're warm, or if you can sense them, or it's not important. That's how I feel them. That's how I'm impressed by them. But it's only actually forces. What's these forces? Desires. Forces I can understand. But the matter is completely inanimate. Still. You feel this force, and you say, it's still. But it's a type of matter. Let's put it otherwise. Who feels? You feel. What do you feel? Still, vegetative, animate, speaking. Where do you feel this? Inside of your own sensation, of your own feeling, of your desire. All of these things are in your desire. I feel the still things in the still, in my desire. Vegetative, in the vegetative. Comes this force and depicts these different shapes, forms in my desire. And then I feel a world, but it's done within me. What's this force that depicts this world? Force of bestowal, the force of the Creator. That's it. Because the form, the shape I receive from Him, from the bestower, and these forms that I receive from the bestower, there are forms that are suitable or opposite. And this is multicolored. I can see these different colors in everyone, some positive, some negative. Where does it come from? The Creator gives me, when He is clothed in this world, He gives me these different shapes and forms in the matter, in root, first, second, and third phase, in my matter. This world that I see was given to me by the Creator, these shapes. He depicts the world in this matter, that the world I see is His form, but according to the way to my state, meaning the matter is on me, but the form is on Him. Yes, Balasulam writes about it in the preface to the Book of Zohar. He gives an example. The sense of touch or feeling, which is the strongest of our senses, which can discern between hot or cold, soft or tough, all of this is only the revelations of the actions in the essence, and it's only different forms of the essence, because the hot can be cooled down and the cold can be heated, and the solid through chemistry can be turned into liquid and liquid into gas, that their entire sense of touch is lost, but the essence is still there, that you can turn gas back to liquid and liquid back to solid. But you can see that these five senses don't reveal the essence, but only the actions and the revelations of the essence. Yes. The matter is me and the form is him. The form is always from the Creator, from the bestower. Where do we have forms from? He created a will to receive. This will to receive is nothing. It's like, I don't know, just matter without form. Where does the form come from? The Creator is clothed in the will to receive. And in these actions, how should I say, cause and consequence, it develops the will to receive. It gives him, each and every time, a deeper imprint. Until when does he imprint himself in matter? Until this matter begins to feel his form, what he is. What is he? Bestowal. So matter begins to feel bestowal, and that's him. So by that, the Creator ends. He lets matter feel in the matter itself his complete form of bestowal. That's what we have in the Malchut of Ein Sof. In Malchut of Ein Sof, we have the greatest will to receive that has developed by the greatest form of bestowal. That's called him and his name, light and vessel. And they are there to the full extent. Right? Him and his name are one. Meaning, matter and form. Yes. So how can you gather these parts of this matter? What are the stages that this matter can be imprinted with the form of bestowal? Are you talking from above to below, from below to above? No, we don't do it this way. Our work is different. Our work is that we must find our work is not that there was a form of bestowal that it shattered and then we have to reconstruct it. We have to construct something independent that didn't exist, which is called Adam. Not that we repeat the same state that we had before. Meaning the Reshimot, the different degrees, the different discernments that we have from the stage of descendment, of descent from Ein Sof to our world, to the first stage. Then in the third stage, when we start rising to the third stage, the third phase, I don't have the words for it.
So it's as if we are creating a new substance. And what's a new substance? Our desire towards others. As we build it. Although you could say, yes, it used to exist, and everyone was one man and one heart, all those parts. But they were connected among themselves by the light. Like with Rabbi Elazar, in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, it's a piece of text describing something. There was simple unity. But when we build the unity, we build the unity as a new substance from below. Meaning, our deficiency, in short, man and mad build a new matter. I can't say more than that now, I don't have the strength. No strength in the words. I won't find them. Yes. Yosef from Jerusalem is asking, what is the division? How is the division between matter and form should help us in the spiritual work? It all depends on the degree. It's like a little child. When it comes to school, he studies the same professions. But every time, they are more complex, deeper. It's the same here. We study, as he says, material research and formative research. That's all there is. And the wisdom of Kabbalah is made of both. But the difference is, well, in our world, we do the same. That's it. We engage in either this or that, not just in science, in human relations, in our work, in family life, whatever. We always engage only in this research, formative or material. But when I engage in Kabbalah, I engage at various levels, from this world to the world of Ensof, in material research and formative research. And besides, with this wisdom, I become like the creator, like the designer, both in matter and in form, and in the form and matter, I make the rules. Because I take my own matter, you can say, yes, but your desires to exist already exist. They do and they don't, because I enhance them 620 times, so they get a completely different characteristic that didn't exist before. That's why I have to say we also have to build the bricks. And then we build new relations among us. As if, according to the pattern that the Creator built, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same Adam. I don't reconstruct. I don't reconstruct of the same things. No, it's truly my search out of my own free choice. I always ask for examples from the Upper One, but I ask these examples according to what I'm searching by myself. There are many things to scrutinize here. So what happens eventually is that when we become like the Creator, then I need both material research and formative research, and I have to obtain them and to attain them from their foundation. So nothing is pre-prepared of them. Is Grisha. If I don't like the form, should I change the matter? My matter? You said form is from the Creator and matter is from us. If I don't like the form, then the matter is wrong. Well, I would say they both change every time. Everything changes. I am in the still. I build of myself a form that matches the Creator as much as I can in my degree. And then I'm in the degree of the vegetative. Again, how is the vegetative in my degree? How does it match the Creator to the maximum? And then the animate and then speaking. And again, still vegetative, animate and speaking. Let's take a specific example, like the pencil. Let's say I don't like it. Does it mean my vessels are malfunctioning because it comes from the Creator? No, that matter, when I feel it, my own matter, if I feel it is wrong, then something's wrong with it? You're asking something entirely different. Krishna says, that's what I wanted to ask. Why you like these forms and not, and these forms you don't? It's according to your own equivalence of form with them. Either you like them or you don't. It's called habit, second nature, or rearing, education. We instill patterns in you as a child, and then according to these patterns, you feel this. I like this. I don't like. I feel good about this. I don't. Yeah, but they come from the Creator. But everything should be good in the end. At the end of correction, of course, everything connects, because you turn it from the different forms into the one form which is His. He's the source. So whether I like it, something or not, I have to turn it into. Allah says you have to bless for the bad, it's for the good. Let's continue. The other part of science studies only forms abstracted from materials without any contact with the substances themselves. In other words, they shed the forms of true and false from the materials, which are the people who carry them, and engage only in research to know such values as superiority and inferiority in these forms of truth and falsehood as they are for themselves, bare as though they were never clothed in any matter. This is called formative research, which we detect, as I said, as forms. As I said, the form comes from the Creator, which is more like Him or not. That's the only measurement. Perhaps it answers what you just asked about the forms, that this is how we measure the forms, only with respect to the Creator, because He's the source of the form on our matter. If it didn't imprint, what does it mean, Prina Aleph, this first stage, or Prina Chosh, the root stage? He imprints his Kli, yes, the will to receive from the light. Then the light affects more and more internally. And then in the Kli, in the matter, it creates more and more discernments. What are Prinot, discernments? Root 1, 2, 3, 4. In the same matter, the will to receive. But look at how the will to receive changes. From still to vegetative to animate. Speaking, look at the kind of evolution that you have here. And it's all because the giver reveals its forms. Yes, Leo. If formative research, as it writes here, is a research of a form that's completely detached from matter, like what we call philosophy in our world, what do you and he mean when you say that in spirituality too we have formative research? Because we study the intention, we only... No. In formative research, we say that the form is clothed in matter. Not abstract form. In abstract form, you can't learn. You can't perceive it. You can't, because you can't perceive it. The abstract form. That's why you can't study it. You can only study your own matter and the form dressed in the matter, only in the matter. Yes. But here he writes, from what I understand, that formative research engages in a form that's completely detached from matter, abstracted. That's what he's writing. Where? We just read it. What, in the beginning? No, we just read it now. Without any contact, it means there is no the impact of what we want in our research. How should I put it? With our study, we want to achieve that. In what? How do I want to achieve the Creator? I want to resemble Him 100%. In what? In form. In matter, I don't care. It can work however it wants, as long as the form is the same form. Let's continue, we'll see. Last paragraph in 471. Or he's referring to it being completely detached. As I said, there's research in a form that's dressed in matter and research in a form that's not dressed in matter. When do we call it philosophy? When it's detached. When it's dressed in matter, we call it science. Yes? Well, this research is not based on practical experiments, you see? That's when it's not dressed in matter. For such abstract forms do not appear in practical experiments, as they do not exist in the actual reality. Why? Because my matter and the forms are opposite from each other. And without my matter, how will I measure abstract forms? My matter... We're talking about the wisdom of Kabbalah and everything else. It's confusing. But in Kabbalah, my matter is the will to receive. My form the will to bestow. So I can measure one with respect to the other. But if you talk of the form of bestowal per se, how do you, with respect to what? How do you measure it? There's no way to measure or feel it. This is because such an abstract form is imaginary, meaning only the imagination can picture it, even though it does not exist in the actual reality. Hence, any scientific research of this kind is necessarily based solely on a theoretical basis. This means that it is not taken from practical experimentation, but only from a research of theoretical negotiations. Mm-hmm. The whole of the higher philosophy belongs to this kind. Hence, many contemporary intellectuals have left it, since they are displeased with any research built on a theoretical basis. They believe it is not a sound basis, for they consider only the experimental basis as sound. Meaning, these definitions are very loose, actually. Either we say about anything we can study in research and accept it as science and rely on it completely, it's material research, because even when it's form, we study it in matter and dressed in matter. Or we say that there's both material and formative research, yes, scientific, but in a way that it's dressed in matter. It depends on how you want to divide it. Here, it's not so obvious, because if we're talking about the material and formative research, so what does it mean by formative research? So it's all philosophy? Or that it still what is dressed in matter? So the form dressed in matter, what does it belong to, this research? Either to material, because it's dressed in matter, even though it's form, or to material learning, when you still measure the form. But in the degree of matter, so the definition here, just words, the words that you attach to it. The thing itself is certainly matter dressed in matter, and you take it as science. And the form dressed in matter is what counts, the will to receive, I don't care. I don't care which will to receive and how much it participates. That's how I measure myself. I look at its form. I demand it, its form. I look at it nehid elyon, chabd elyon, and I want to measure it as much as I can. And the forms, how much I do, how much I don't, I measure with respect to it, what form they can or can't adopt, and to what extent. So my matter is nothing here. It's a means by which I come to that form, because I need that form in order to build the matter out of it.
Yes, Niv. What could be more abstract than attaining the form of the Creator, which I don't know who He is, what He is? We know it's formative research. It's nothing abstract. I do it in my own material. I give, I love, I hate, I bestow. Anything that I engage in my life, I do it in knowing or not knowing, without understanding. I engage in copying nature or the Creator. What else do I do? Give me an example that I do something that exists in nature, either directly or opposite from the Creator, meaning as a replica or original. Meaning I'm always in this trying to copy the Creator, to imitate the Creator, or do it out of the oppositeness. But never mind, because all the forms are from him. But the form of bestowal is hidden from me. Okay, so you have to reveal now this formative research of bestowal. You have to reveal it. These different forms. What do we want from the upper? We raise man. Or we want to nullify ourselves towards the upper Achap. What do we do? What do we want? Show me your glory, as Moses said. Show me what I can resemble in my own matter. It's all, how should I say it? It's all advancement through forms. Parzufim is what we construct. The matter inside is the will to receive. Yes. Baal HaSulam writes in his article called The Secret of the Ibur and Leida. He writes, the Creator receives contentment that his creatures imitate his examples, that our entire innovation and development aren't true innovations, but they're as a replica, as an imitation. And according to that, this imitation suits nature, to that same extent, we develop. Well, go ahead, just finish it. Last paragraph, 472. And the wisdom of Kabbalah too is divided into these two parts, material research and formative research. But here, there is a great advantage over secular sciences. Here, even the part of formative research is built entirely on the critique of practical reason, meaning on a practical, empirical basis. Yes, Glizerin. I wanted to ask about information. Is that matter or form? I don't know, where is that clothed in you? In my feeling, in the feeling, in the connection, in the cells. If it's a desire to know, you can measure it with bits, bytes. It's form. But if it belongs to my desire, you said desire is matter. Yes, but the matter receives the form of this information, therefore it's form. Is it form clothed in matter? Yes, of course. So if so, the question is, what's the problem with these abstract forms that he writes about? Because they're also connected to matter through information. Problem is, you don't know about their authentic
validity.
But if it's abstract, how can you check? For example, a table. That's the connection between all tables in the world. That's information. No. Information is called that it's in the cells or in... It's written in it. The information is there that it sustains it. How can I recognize this? Only in my imagination. Isn't there a desire in me that recognizes this? That there is such a thing as a table? So this is what you're saying. I depict a table. So this depiction is in my head. Therefore, it's form clothed in matter. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Okay. So what's form clothed in matter, as he says? A table that's in wood and not as information. Yes. So you're asking me, to research this corporeal table, then why I can research it, and it's called science, and in my inner research I can't, and it's not called science, because I'm not on that degree that I can research abstract forms. What will you bring me out of your information? The entire wisdom is through the connection between people. But we can also measure an egoistical connection, relationship. Also, here we have the connection. The connection between two tables is only on the level of information. You can't compare here. Why not? You're comparing the reshimot. You're not comparing something abstract. If you're saying about information, if you're talking about information, then that's something you've already measured. That doesn't exist in an abstract form, this term, a table. Exactly, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's where I started from. That information is in my matter. If it's in your matter, then it's form clothed in matter. So you can supposedly speak in abstract forms. It's not abstract. Okay, we'll talk about this. As I've said, there are things here that you can see how he wrote it. Half a page. We'll talk about it. By that, we'll conclude. But before we do, a few messages. Europe is uniting. Virtual lesson for all the friends in Europe who want to be as one clique. Today, as every Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Israel time, you can get details, email europe@kbb1.com. All of us together in Jerusalem, discovering the light between us in Hanukkah. Rav Lightman's lecture about the meaning of the holiday, lighting the candles of Hanukkah, culture events, donuts, and songs. Monday, 14th of December, 6:30 p.m., Hebrew University, Wise Hall. Details and enrollment, call 1-700-509-209. Or go into kab.co.il. By that, we'll conclude. Thanks, and have a great day or night.
הגופים במקום בנשמות כולם רוצים רק לעצמם רוצים בלי שאלות השנאה שמתגברת הקנאה והדמעות רוצים לצאת מהקופסה להתעורר כי ככה אי אפשר לחיות אבל קיימת עוד תקווה שנתקן את הכוונה נחזור לחיות באהבה בינינו אם נאמר כולנו יחד אמן נחזור להיות כולנו חלקים של השלם שמה ונתעורר מהחלום לא קולטים זה מציאות והתסכול רק מתגבר לא מוצאים את האיזון ובתוכנו המשבר מסבירנו אסונות תאונות ומלחמות וזה לא ייפסק אם לא נאחד את הרצונות אבל קיימת עוד תקווה שנתקן את הכוונה נסור לחיות באהבה בינינו